So when somebody mentions the Holy Spirit to you, what do you think? What do you think of? Some people say, I understand God the Father. I get God the Son. I kind of don't get the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if you watch MeTV and the old, you remember the Addams Family and the Uncle Fester, you know, the guy who sticks a light bulb in his mouth and the light comes on and all these crazy things happen. You know, some people say, well, the Holy Spirit's kind of like the Uncle Fester of the Trinity, you know, Father, Son, and Uncle Fester. Because all these strange things happen, right? First he shows up today as, he shows up at Jesus' baptism as a dove, like this, right? He comes down as a dove. He shows up there. And then we hear today in the second reading, he shows up first as these tongues of fire, this fire that comes down and then divides and goes up and lands on each one of the apostles' heads. And then we hear about him as this loud rushing wind. Both the Greek and the Hebrew word for wind and spirit and breath are all the same word. And then we have these strange things in Mark chapter 16, we talk about people with the Holy Spirit doing these miraculous things like speaking in tongues or handling dangerous snakes and miraculous healings. And you think, you know, this is just kind of weird. This Holy Spirit guy. We say we believe in the Holy Spirit. We're going to confess that in the Nicene Creed here in a few minutes. We know that he lives in us through faith in Jesus Christ. We confess that he is here right now, right with us, present with us. Every time we gather around word and sacrament, Holy Spirit's here. Sometimes it's hard to picture him. What does the Bible say? It gives us some very clear and helpful teachings about the Holy Spirit. Who the Holy Spirit is and what he does for us Christians. Over and over again in the Gospel of John, and especially here in John 14, Jesus uses a very unique word to describe the Holy Spirit. And that's why I asked you to keep your hymnals open. Because in that last verse that you all just sang, to you, O Paraclete, we raise unending songs of thanks and praise. What's a paraclete? Somebody in the early service came up to me afterwards and says, what's a parakeet? No. It's a paraclete, okay? It comes from the Greek word parakletos. Oof, boy, I got that one. I think I got it pronounced right. Parakletos, okay? And if you look in real fine print at the bottom of the page, it says, Paraclete is another name for the Holy Spirit. It comes from the Greek, and it means comforter or counselor. Okay? And that's what we're going to talk about. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the helper, the comforter, the counselor, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So this is what a counselor is, okay? And we have the world's best counselor, the Holy Spirit. And he says, I'm going to come to you. Jesus says, he's going to come to you and come alongside you. And in Greek and in Hebrew, the word for helper means the same thing. It means somebody who comes alongside you. Okay? So when you're a parent and your kid is, say, in eighth grade and having trouble with their math, what do you do as a parent? You come alongside them and help them with their math, right? You come alongside. That's a helper, okay? someone who comes alongside. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes alongside you and helps you. And we'll talk about how he does that. I don't know if you're like me, you kind of, when your kids are in eighth grade, you think, I can do the math now, but when they get to high school, I didn't do so well in calculus. So you kind of pray that they'll be good on their own at that point, right? But what is a counselor? He says, the counselor will come to you. What do you think of when you hear the term counselor? I think of the word lawyer. Because I used to be one. And when my last job, this one guy, he was just kind of always ribbing me, you know, and he would always call me counselor. Good morning, counselor. How are you doing, counselor? Would you like to go to lunch, counselor? He would never really say, what do you think about this, counselor? But that was my job as a lawyer. And maybe you think of a counselor as like a mental health therapist, a counselor who comes alongside you to help you through whatever you need. As a lawyer, so I did a lot of contract law, okay? And sometimes people would listen to my counsel and sometimes they wouldn't. But the Holy Spirit kind of, well, let's kind of compare a lawyer as a counselor and the Holy Spirit, okay? A contract lawyer says, okay, these are your rights into the contract and these are your obligations, okay? And usually the lawyer spends a lot of time talking about what your obligations are. This is what you signed up for. You said you're going to do this. Do it. Pay up. For example. Or, what are your rights under a contract? Your rights under a contract are usually somebody else's obligation, okay? Your right under this contract is to get paid, which means it's your job to pay. With every right, there comes an obligation on somebody else's part, okay? That's because human natures need that. They need somebody telling them what to do. Enforcing the law is really an enforcement of what they're obliged to do their duty. Okay. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit work? The Holy Spirit works in two ways. Okay. The first way is he comes to us, and this is not his favorite job, and it's definitely not your favorite job as the receiver of it. He comes to you to convict you. Nobody likes to be convicted. He comes to you and says, to point out your sin, really, and say, you know, this is not the way God intended you to be. This is not the way God intended you to act. And by the way, you're hurting somebody else. How does he do this, though? He does it in a way that's very different from a lawyer who comes with a threat that, well, if you don't do it, you're going to get sued and somebody in court is going to force you to do it or somebody's going to throw you in prison. That's the hard part. And the Lord does have some hard things to say about those who don't follow the law. Sin, death, and hell are pretty hard. But the Holy Spirit comes as a counselor, somebody who comes alongside you to show you the way. Much more like your mom or dad helping you with your homework in eighth grade. Okay? Not to condemn you that, okay, you don't know that two times two is four. Get out of here. But no. So that you know that two times two is four. And so you can go live a life as a human being knowing that and way more important stuff than that. Holy Spirit comes to you not to teach you math, although I suppose he could, but to teach you who you are as a human being, a creature of God. That is way more important. And as a creature of God, who you are in relation to Him and who you are in relation to all those around you. And that's called love. That's what the Holy Spirit comes to you to give you. And so He convicts you in love. Some of the best counselors in my life have been, well, my parents, but like a coach or like a mentor at work who actually cares about you. There are people at work, bosses at work, who can just fire you. If that's, you know, if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, they just fire you. They don't really care about you after that. But there are those who want to help you, who come alongside you and say, Jeff, you kind of got this wrong, but here's how you do it right. Or coaches. Coaches who come alongside you and say, look, this isn't how you do this, but if you do it this way, if you pass the ball to the right guy at the right time, we score. Or if you get in the way of this guy, you know, keep your feet in front of you. You can block them, the other team. Whatever. The point is, the coach comes alongside you to correct you and because he cares for you. If he's never going to play you, and you go to practice and he doesn't correct you because he doesn't care, that's not a good coach. The one who comes to you in love, like a parent does, comes to you because he loves you, to give you that correction. And then the second thing that the Holy Spirit does, I mean, among other things, but the second most important thing that he does, the second also important thing that he does, is to come to you and tell you you are forgiven by Jesus Christ. To point you to the cross, to the one who died for you on the cross, to show you God's love in that way, which is really what he loves to do. To convict you in love, but then to comfort you in love. And then, when he shows you God's love in both those ways, he says, now, let's get started. Let's get started living as human beings, the way that you're created to live. The way that when I and the Father and Son come and dwell within you, as we came at your baptism, we're going to empower you. How does the Holy Spirit empower us? Well, I'm not going to spend the whole sermon on that, but I think of it this way, okay? When somebody, when you chop down a tree, when I chop down a tree, I go put my hands in my gloves, grab the axe, and start chopping. Okay? Is it the axe that cuts down the tree? Well, yeah, you could say the axe is what hits the wood. Okay. Is it the gloves that are holding the axe? Well, no, they're there too. Where does the power come from? The power comes from the one whose hands are in the gloves and holding the axe. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's the Holy Spirit. He comes and acts within you. He's like the hands in the glove that have the power behind them that enable you to do the work that he gives you. Things to build up the body of Christ. And what do those things look like? They look like love. They look like coming beside a person who needs to be comforted with the Holy Gospel. And sometimes they look like coming alongside someone that we love and saying, Jeff, you're not on the right path here. Because I care about you. And I don't want you to be hurt by what you're about to do or what you're about to do again. These things are love. The Holy Spirit comes to you in love. And He gives you all kinds of powers. And maybe it's not handling dangerous snakes. Or maybe it's not speaking in foreign languages. You know, you heard the Old Testament reading, how God dispersed the world because everybody wanted to do their own, do human things and be themselves, you know, be what a great people we are. Well, He dispersed them. At Pentecost, He came and gave the Spirit so that people could speak in tongues to hear about God's love through Jesus Christ. All these crazy things that you think the Holy Spirit does, He does for these two purposes: to show us our sin and to show us our Savior. And He points to Jesus. He says, that is your Savior. In Him you can see the love of God. Love that is like no other. That is for you. In Jesus' name, amen.